The word today is Paul. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Do you have a favorite Bible character? One of Pastor Schrader's favorites is St. Paul, and our message today deals with his conversion and subsequent ministry. Here to lead us is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Paul.
There are going to be enormous joys in heaven. I'm telling you, you know, I just am so pleased to know that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, and that through Him I have the confidence that my sins have been forgiven. I am going to spend eternity with God because of His great gift to me through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, that is the saving faith that we talked about on our program recently. And one of the joys of heaven, I believe, is going to be seeing people that have arrived there ahead of us. And I don't mean just our father and our mother and other relatives and friends. That's going to be very enjoyable. Of course it is. That's going to be marvelous. But I'll tell you what, I am looking forward to meeting people like Samson. I am looking forward to meeting, I guess one of the most important people I'm looking forward to meeting is St. Paul. I'll tell you, ever since I've been a little child, and actually my name is Paul, and I guess maybe that has something to do with it, the fact that I like St. Paul so much, but I just am so impressed with the story of St. Paul, how he became St. Paul and so on. You know, his original name was Saul. You can read about that in the book of Acts. Right after the four Gospels comes the book of Acts, probably written by St. Luke to give us a history of the early Christian church. And in the ninth chapter, there's a lot of details about how Saul became Paul. As a matter of fact, the first part of that chapter, he is called Saul in verse 1. He was breathing murderous threats. Let me read this to you from the Bible in case you don't have one handy there. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, see, those were the early Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. See, oh, man, he was going to get this new movement and destroy it. He was going to stamp it out, these people that were following Jesus. You know, I just can see the guts of this guy. You know, he was going to have documents and papers and search warrants, you know, whatever you want to call them. He was going to really take care of destroying this new movement, these people that were following Jesus. Well, of course, God had other plans. It's so beautiful to see God simply knocks him off his horse, so to speak. Look at verse 3 to 6. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. No doubt, I think that was a bolt of lightning, probably. Not that God had to use lightning, but he probably did. And knocks him down and converts him. Now, you know, it's interesting to me there have been a number of people within the Christian church during the history of the Christian church that have had experiences like this with lightning. Luther was one of them, as an example. And it just seems like on these occasions, Paul was going to become such a special servant of God that God wanted to convert him in such a dramatic way that he would never forget it. Zamo, Zappo, and you know, man, what an experience. And he is instantaneously converted. And, you know, I see immediately in, now let's refer to him as Paul now. I see how Paul responds. You know, in the first place, he must have been scared to death of the other disciples because he knew, they all knew about him. He was the killer. He was the one trying to destroy them. And then, now, you recall God also, you can read about this in verse 15. God comes to Ananias. Ananias was a prophet of God, and God tells him to go and heal Paul. Can you imagine a more difficult assignment? This murderous guy that's trying to stamp out all the early Christians, and now Ananias is told, go to him and heal him. He needs your help. You can just imagine the tension in this story. I just love that. And as you go on reading here in the ninth chapter, move on to verse 22. Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus. I'm reading now from the scriptures by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now, they're still referring to him here as Saul. And he is growing more and more powerful. He is speaking in behalf of Christ now. Can you imagine this? What the early church must have thought. Here is this enemy of the church now speaking up in behalf of Jesus. Let's, in this time that we have left together here, let's just think of some of the times. By the way, I want to give you a reference to the Roman name for Saul was Paul. So it's not so much changing the name, but just identifying with the Romans that he was trying to witness to. All right. Paul was so anxious to spread the message of Christ that he traveled throughout the entire Gentile world. You know, he was quite a traveler. He was motivated. He wanted to bring this message to anyone that hadn't heard. As a matter of fact, if you go through the book of Acts here, and I could give you the references, but trust me, they're listed here all the way through. Salamis he went to, Paphos he went to, Antioch, that's one that you probably knew about, and Macedonia. And not only that, but later on, you remember it's Paul's epistles that he writes to the church of Philippi, that he writes to the church of Thessalonica, that he writes to the church at Ephesus, that he writes to the church at Corinth. All of these churches, all of these groups he is witnessing to, he wants them to know about Jesus and the importance that Jesus is going to make in their life and especially in their eternal life. So Paul, you know, and he didn't just take this stuff off the top of his head. Let's get that straight, first of all, here. You know, he didn't just say, well, I'm going to just tell about this and this and this. I'll just have a couple speeches ready. You know what Paul did before he began his ministry, right after his conversion? He went out into the Arabian desert. Now think of this. And he didn't just go out there for a weekend. He didn't just go out there for a small retreat or a little private meditation. He spent 3 years. Listen. 3 years he spent in communion with God. In fellowship with God. God, teach me. God, help me. God, empower me. God, instruct me. Just think of this. Would you like to know where to find that? In Galatians, in one of Paul's epistles, Galatians 1, verse 17, he refers to this. I think this ought to be a clue for anyone who wants to start a powerful ministry in behalf of Jesus Christ. I think you first must immerse yourself in prayer. You first must immerse yourself in God's Word. Don't rely on your own planning. Don't rely on your own intelligence. Don't rely on your own energy level. Make sure you are within the will of God and that He knows your desires and that you know God's desires for you. Let Him immerse you, so to speak, in a relationship with himself, that God will be on your mind and on your heart morning, noon, and night, that he will fill you with his ways and his will, and especially also with the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you will have the eternal power, the God-given power for your ministry. Well, you can see how wonderful, I think, what a person God turned Saul into the great man of God named Paul. Well, he was a man of great courage. I suppose he had courage before. You know, we talked about his guts and his determination. But now it was determination to serve God. And so he was opposed. Oh, my goodness, was he ever opposed. And he sums up his life in the 8th chapter of Romans. He says this, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" He says, you know, it doesn't matter. Even in prison, he praised God. In so many occasions, in Acts 22, he was attacked by a riotous crowd, and yet he stood his ground. You remember how he was so faithful. He wanted to preach and teach the truth. He believed God's grace. He considered it an honor to represent Jesus. He refused to despair. He refused to give up. And he had the glorious hope and promise of eternal life. Nothing stopped St. Paul. Not even the thorn in his flesh that he talks about in 2 Corinthians. He had some physical handicaps that slowed him down, but it certainly did not stop him. And I hope you like St. Paul. I hope you love him and read his epistles and read about his conversion in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. And I would hope that you will meditate and pray and turn your life over to God, surrender everything to the Lord, and become another St. Paul.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Intercession. In this free booklet, he writes about the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ on behalf of his church, and especially on his beautiful prayer in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. So write today for your free copy of Intercession. Our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.